So we've been spending the last few weeks in a letter in the New Testament of your Bible that is written to a group of churches that Paul kind of planted on his first missionary journey when he kind of went around the whole Mediterranean rim. And as he stopped in each town telling people the good news about Jesus, people would come to faith in Christ, and then he would have them gathered together in their homes and create things called churches where they continued to learn more and more about who Jesus was, worship together, be together, give to each other, help each other. The whole idea of a church was all started around that concept. He went back through on his way back to his home church in Antioch, Syria, really encouraging them, making sure there was elders and leadership, and headed back home. Then he heard that people showed up at those churches. People showed up talking to people in the homes, telling them, hey, what you did was great, trusting Jesus, but it requires some other things you have to do in order to secure your faith. And so we've been looking, and Paul has been very clear, because he wants you and I to have no questions, no doubts, to know for certain that we've trusted Christ as our Savior, and that is enough. You don't do anything else. You're not required to do anything else to kind of earn your way. The only thing we need is the sacrifice of Christ that forgives us of our sins. It sets us free to live a totally different life. And so now we're in the part of the letter that kind of shifts and twists in chapter 5. Because he's going to go away from explaining all that he has about where our faith really lies, and that it lies in Christ, to really getting us to understand now, what does this look like to live this out? And so last week, you remember that we landed on this big idea in Christ, we are all God's children. That our primary identity when we come to Christ is that we are children of God. That's our primary identity. All the other identities that we have in life fall by the wayside to that primary identity, that we are children of God. And that means we are part of God's family, and that means we're supposed to relate to one another like family, and really like family that gets along and works things out and loves one another and cares for one another. Part of that is really understanding what Paul's going to kind of teach us today, and that's this whole idea of freedom. Now, as Americans, we think, well, we got this whole thing down. We understand what freedom is. We understand why we have freedom, what freedom's all about. And yet, in Christ, it looks really different. And I'm hoping that you can see that this morning. So sometimes we think, oh, we should. And I think we should get it easier than they did because we live in a free country. We live in a free society where we enjoy some incredible freedoms that you could go back and say they didn't enjoy those in the day that Paul is writing to them. Okay, the Galatian believers did not have the type of freedoms we have. They just didn't. Some of them were enslaved because they owed money, and that's how you dealt with it. Okay, we don't deal with those things anymore, where people are in slavery to other people based on debts or based on status. All that's taken away. We have freedom. They didn't have the freedom really to worship anywhere. That's why they worshiped in homes. They did that early in the morning on Sunday and then went to their job. That's what they did. So their freedom is different, and he wants them to understand how free they are in Christ. And what I'm hoping this does for us today, it kind of opens our eyes and we get to experience maybe a little bit of what Christ has in store for our lives if we would just live them this way. So chapter 5, we're going to be in the first 15 verses today if you want to follow along. If you have your YouVersion app, you can always go to the events page and all the verses are located there. And he starts this way. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and you don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Because that's what they were doing. They were all tied up. Oh gosh, it's not enough that I came to Christ. Now I also got to be Jewish and I got to follow all their rules of what to eat and what not to eat and what to wear and not what to wear and what to do and all this other stuff. They got tied up in all that. And he said, no. Christ has set you free. Don't get tied up in that stuff again. Don't get tied up in a bunch of rules that is somehow dictated to how your relationship is doing with Christ. And I'm telling you, this happens to all of us. We go through our days thinking that what we do hinges on what God thinks about us. And so we had a good day, we did good things, and we helped one another out. We think, wow, God must be really pleased with me. But isn't it true if it's the opposite? And it was a bad week, and it was a rough week, and things didn't go very well. And you said some things you really wish you didn't say to your spouse, and your kids, you know, you yelled at them, and it was bad. And you kicked the dog a few times, and it was just a bad week. You somehow kind of shrink back. I don't know if I want to go to church. I don't think God probably is very happy with me. And that's because that's how we view God. Now watch what happens here. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you're counting on circumcision, you count on rules to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. So let me give you what he's doing here. He's telling us, really, fill in the blank. If you are counting on, fill it in, to make you right with God, you've lost your freedom in Christ. What is it? Your daily Bible reading. You get the daily bread. You get up every morning. Okay. Okay, God, it's going to be a good day, right? I read my Bible. I did what I was supposed to do. Everything's going to work out. I don't know what it is for you that you've convinced yourself as long as you do this, you are going to be right with God. We are right with God through Christ. But for some reason, there's always something in our life that likes to fill in that line. And we end up counting on something else to make us right with God. And sometimes it's how we act, how good the week was. Did we get angry very much? Did everything go well? Did we? And those things become that fill-in line that we would say, we're using that, and we're counting on that to make us right with God. Some of you are counting on the fact that you are sitting in this place this morning that you are right with God. God, you should really love me. I got up, didn't want to, wanted to sleep in, got up, came, and you would fill that line with, hey, I am counting on my church attendance. And then I came to church and didn't fall asleep while the guy was talking in order that I would be made right with God. That's what we do. We have all sorts of things that we fill in this line with, and it's what we count on to make us right with God. He continues. I'll say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, this is where they were struggling the most. This is what the people showed up were telling them. You must obey every regulation, the whole law of Moses. Now, I'm just going to challenge you sometime. If you think, well, is that a bad deal? Read the book of Leviticus. Okay? The book of Leviticus wiped out my dinner at Red Lobster last night. Okay? Just did. Can't do it. Not allowed. Not allowed to have those things. There's all sorts of rules, all sorts of regulations. And Paul says, hey, if you're going to do one, and if you're going to count on that, then you better do them all. And you better count on keeping everything and being perfect in order to be right with God. For if you're trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You want to know what the essence of Christian freedom looks like? It's this. Faith expressing itself in love. This is where we've slid off somewhere as Christians. Our faith, our belief that God is who he says he is, and he will do everything he says he'll do. You know how that's supposed to come out? As love. Not as condemnation of people, not as judging somebody else. It's actually supposed to come out as love. And a lot of times it just doesn't. Our belief that God is who he says he is, and that he will do everything he says he'll do. Sometimes we use that on the basis of saying, see, my religion's better than yours. You have a chance now because my God's bigger than your God. And that's not the way it's supposed to come out. Faith is supposed to express itself in love. And part of the way we know, if we've kind of fallen off track and we've filled in lines with other things to make us right with God, is our faith, is your faith expressing itself in love? Expressing itself in love, is it? And then all you have to do is turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, start reading verse number 4, so that you know what this looks like. What does it look like? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. It goes on. Love never fails, right? Always hopes, always believes, always perseveres. You take that list and then you say, is my faith that God is who he says he is and he will do everything he says he'll do, is that coming out that way? Is that expressing itself that I'm patient with people? I'm kind with people? It does not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude. Is it showing up that way in my life? Because that's what Paul said. You're basing everything on the things that you do. And he's just asking them, is your faith expressing itself in love? Is it coming across that way? That's a great question. That's one of those barometers that helps us understand when in our life we slide to depending on our behavior and our actions to make sure that God is pleased with us, and we've somehow slid away from the cross, that it's because of what Christ did that we are right with God. Not all the other things that we have made it about. And you know that slide happens when you become unloving. Because faith is supposed to express itself in love. He continues. And this part's kind of interesting, okay? You were running the race so well. Who held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you into freedom. The false teaching, this false teaching, is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teaching. For God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Paul doesn't know who he is, but they came in and they're just confusing everybody. Dear brothers, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some would say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that this is Paul getting very blunt here because he wants to make sure that we understand something. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. And that's exactly what he means. He's just being very blunt here, okay? Those teachers who show up, say, hey, a little circumcision makes you closer to God. Well, then cut the whole thing off and be really close to God. That's what he's saying, okay? And you're like, wow, that's in the Bible? Yeah, it is. See, you ought to read your Bible. It is really interesting at times, okay? Because he's really upset at what they're doing. He's like, why are you doing this to people? Why are you confusing? I just wish you would do that. I just wish you'd go that far. Do you know why? Because freedom takers always need to be confronted. And that's, I'm telling you, and anybody can be a freedom taker. Anybody, anything can creep in our life, and we think that's so important, and then we begin to judge everybody else by that. We just do. We judge everybody else by that. It's our standard by which we have made ourselves right with God, and God, you must be pleased with me because I haven't done this, or I am doing this. We filled in the line with something, and then we start pushing down everybody else. So you got on your Facebook feed, well, I don't think they're very good Christians today. Look what they did last night. Look what they did. And they did this, and you're not supposed to do that. And then we do that. Then we do that. Or we make up a bunch of rules, and we insist everybody else follow our rules. And it's just dangerous. And freedom takers, people who just, you know, fell into that routine, that them doing something or not doing something is what made them right with God, and what keeps them in a good relationship with God. And all of a sudden, that crept in, and then they begin to tell everybody else, this is what you should do. Okay? Those individuals that went to those churches, they somehow believed that since that started with Abraham, this thing of circumcision, if they just did that on top of everything, that would just make them right with God. That would just make their entire life better. That's just what crept in. And it's not just crept into their life. And they began to fill in that blank with it. Now they're going out to tell everybody else, you better do it too. You better do it too. See, freedom takers have taken their own freedom, and now it's time to take somebody else. Now it's time to spread it and take somebody else's, and it makes sure somebody else is just as miserable as you are trying to follow your rules to make you right with God. This is why it never works. And this is why every point where it comes up, where it becomes a test point to whether or not we are saved, whether or not we are right with God, we have to confront those things. We need to confront him in ourselves first by noticing that line. What are we using to say we're right with God? Our tithing, our attendance, the things we do, things we don't do. What are we using? Because that's going to creep up. It's going to steal our own freedom in Christ. And then it's going to go out and steal everybody else's. Now, for those of you who've wondered why so far in Galatians, the pendulum's been way over here where Paul has just pushed this whole idea. It is faith in Christ, it is faith in Christ. And everybody else is going, yeah, but when does he get to the stuff of what we should do out of this relationship with Christ? This is next. This is really, really important. Because Christian freedom doesn't mean, hey, just go do whatever you want to do. You've accepted Christ your Savior. Hey, go live it up. Do whatever you want to do. Feast. Do whatever you want to do. Live it up. That's not what he says. Look what he goes to next. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But, huge but here, okay? Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. This is where he throws the whole thing and twists it on him. This is where you and I, we should live differently out of what Christ has done for us, all out of, guess what? Christ has set us free not to just live for ourselves. He ends. For the whole law can be summed up in one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Because freedom is used to serve, not to self-serve. It's used to serve. That's why we have been set free, so that we would serve one another. He says, don't serve yourself. Christ didn't set you free so you could just go and say, great, I can just do everything I want now. No, actually, he has set us free so that we would serve one another. We would serve one another. We would look out for the interests of one another. And Paul ran across this all the time in the Greek world that he lived in. He ran across this all the time, where there was always things that went on that weren't really bad, but he just looked and said, you know what? For the sake of your brother and sister in Christ, maybe you would choose not to do that. There's a great example in the book of Romans where some of the Roman believers were struggling. Whether or not it was acceptable that if you came and were following Christ, whether or not you could go to the temple where they were, and this is not a temple that is worshiping God, it's worshiping a lot of different images, set up gods, the moon, the sun, okay, everything else. And if you could eat the meat that was sacrificed to those idols, okay? See, we don't deal with that in our day and age, we don't, okay? If you want roast beef, you don't find a temple somewhere that's just offered something to a god. But that in their day, that's what happens. And you could go and you could buy the meat. And some of them really struggled with that. Should I do that? Should I do that? And Paul constantly kind of ran into that over and over again. And ultimately, you know what he told them? If it's better. He goes, it means nothing. Let's be honest. The idol means nothing. It's worship to a false god means nothing. But if you know that the person you're a part of this family of God with is struggling with it, you know how you could serve them? By not doing it. You could serve them the best by saying, you know what? They really struggle with that. And I don't think it's a problem, and I don't think it's an issue. But you know what? I care about them. They're part of my family. And if it means that I shouldn't do it, I'm not going to do it. That is what serving one another out of love looks like. Now, I don't self-serve and do whatever I want. I actually think about the people around me and what is for their benefit and what is for their help and what will help them, what will nurture them, what would help them if they saw me doing or not doing. And you know about it, okay? This is not like you don't know that they're struggling with this. You do, and you choose not to do something in order to sit and serve with them. See, that's what life looks like in the family of God. And what he ran into in Galatians was they were just kind of devouring one another, ripping off each other's heads, doing whatever they wanted to do, and saying, hey, Christ has set me free. I can just do whatever I want to do. And he says, no. Because Christ has set you free to serve one another, not to just serve yourself. And isn't it true? We have, and we could just push this out to a little broader if we wanted to. We have Americans done the same thing. We've used the incredible freedom we have, really not to serve, just to self-serve ourselves and get as much as we can. And watching it, you're just like, what happens? Well, what happened is what happens in the same thing, in the same setting of the church. We forget that Christ set us free so that we would serve one another. And our tendency, because it's just our nature, it's the way we are, is to put ourselves first. Put ourselves first. And to put ourselves front and center and make ourselves the most important and serve ourselves before we serve anybody else. That's the message you hear all the time. Here's what they don't tell you. You want a better marriage? Serve one another. Get far better serving one another than just trying to self-serve yourself. Serve one another. You want to change the attitude of your home? Get everybody to serve one another. Change everything if you could do that. We'd change everything if you did that. Because most of us are very frustrated because we have self-served ourselves so often that we think everybody else ought to too, and we're very frustrated by that. And Christ has set us free not to just serve ourselves and do whatever we want. He's actually set us free so that we would serve one another. That's what I want you to think about this week. I want you to think about how we go and live this out. Because in Christ we are set free, and we must continue to live free. I want you to discover this week what's on that line that you're filling in with, hey, if I do this, if I've done this, if I've completed this, then I'm right with God. Because I'm telling you, that is stealing. That's stealing what Christ died for in your life. And it just needs to be set aside. So that line would be, I am right with God because Christ died in my place and I have trusted him. So anything that goes on that line. Anything else coming in, push it aside. Because you're going to notice where now all of a sudden it's not just taking over your life. It's now taking over others because you've insisted they do that as well. Where's that happening and what's on that line? I want you to discover that this week. And I also want you to discover how you can serve the people around you in your life. How can you serve them? How can you serve them? We've got service all into if I volunteer for something, if I sign up for something, if I go somewhere. Really forget all that for a moment this week. What would it look like if I just walked into my home and figured out how I could serve the people in it better? You will change the dynamics of your home. What if you walked into work tomorrow and instead of, okay, either some of you are the boss and you get to demand things, or some of you are like, man, I'm so low, everybody's above me, right? How do I go into that environment and serve somebody else? How do we do that? How do we walk in there and serve somebody else? And you might live in an environment, you might work in a place where everybody takes advantage of everybody else. And you're like, nobody's going to notice it, nobody's going to remember it, doesn't matter, God sees. God sees, and you've been set free to serve one another in love. So what would it look like if you walked into that place of employment and you decided to serve somebody else? It might change everything. If nothing else, it changes you. And it changes your self-serving you and moves you into serving one another out of what Christ has done for us. So I want to pray for us this morning. Because none of us are going to accomplish this on our own power. Don't think you're going to go home and, that's it. I'm going to serve one another. You're going to walk in the door and something is going to happen and it's done. Okay? It's done in about 5 seconds. Okay? If you try to do this on your own, we were not set free to do life on our own. God gave us his spirit to live within us, to help us, to empower us, to set us in the course we need to. Depend upon him to help you. To help you know where you can serve, to help you know how you can serve, and to help you give you the strength and the power you don't have on your own to do that. And as we pray, would you ask God to reveal to you what's on that line that you're trusting in for your right relationship with God and how you can serve God. somebody else. Let's pray.